Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
If you guys have your Bibles, go with me. We're going to go to John 16. That's where we're going to hang out today. How many guys can sense that the Lord is moving? There's a lot of incredible things happening, things that I'll be telling you more about in the future. They're kind of larger scale things, but man, God is really moving. The amount of testimonies and incredible things I'm hearing in people's lives is nothing short of confirmation that God is on the move. And he is working miracles in the lives of people. And one of the things I wanted to let you guys know about is May 26th. If you could mark that day, May 26th. It wasn't in the announcements, but I really feel the Lord on this. And we have the privilege of partnering with Sean Foyt in the Kingdom to Capital Tour. And Sean has had a mandate from the Lord to take their team and to go to every state capital in America and to bring communion and worship onto the Capitol steps. And, you know, guys, there's stuff going on. That 227 bill passed in the state, and there's crazy stuff. And I know that we're angry and frustrated with the direction of the world and all that. But at the end of the day, when are we going to realize that our authority is not just found in our just things that we do, but also in prayer and corporate unified prayers where our authority is found? And yes, so many other things get partnered with that, and we cannot be silent. We have to rise up, but we have to do it in prayer as well. And I think that we're at the moment where the nation has to come together and cry out saying, God, we need an awakening in America. And so we're going to be joining on May 26th, and we're going to be joining with thousands of other believers, hopefully on the front lawn of the Capitol in Augusta. So May 26th, 4 p.m., there will be no night service that night. It's a Sunday. But also another really quick, cool part is Sean will be speaking here that morning. So if you can mark that, May 26th, Sean Foyt will be speaking here. And I really think that day is just going to be such a powerful day. I've been speaking to pastors and leaders all over the state of Maine. It's going to be awesome. So mark that day. I'm excited to kick off a new sermon series. I've been waiting on this one. I've been holding it and preparing and praying into this. And I think this is going to be such a significant few weeks together. And it's called The Spirit and the Word. And you know, I'm not going to lie, Sunday mornings are mildly frustrating to preach from because there's such a limited window. So we have two services and traffic and parking teams and kids are downstairs. I know that we have so many dynamics that make these Sunday mornings really difficult to go deep. But I'll be honest, I would stand up here and die in front of you if I just kicked around in puddles every Sunday morning and we never went deep. And so my desire is we're going to go a little bit deeper on Sunday mornings. Is that okay? And we're going to teach and we're going to try to take a significant, complicated, exhaustive, important idea and concept theologically, and we're going to try to lay it out, because if we understand where we're going in this sense, it's going to produce so much fruit in your life, so much fruit. And I want to present to us the person of the Holy Spirit for the next few weeks. You know, one of the saddest realities of modern Christianity is the lack of experiential knowledge around the person of the Holy Spirit. So many believers are running with form and function and discipline and behavior, but with no fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan said, "From my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes, completely forgotten." Charles Spurgeon said, "There is not in the church such a belief in the Holy Ghost as there ought to be." A.W. Tozer said, "In most Christian churches, the Spirit is quite entirely overlooked. Whether he is present or absent makes no difference to anyone. Brief reference is made to him in the doxology and the benediction, but further than that, he might as well not even exist." He also goes on to say, "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference." It's devastating, isn't it? The majority of all of our church history, and I'm stepping out on a limb, but the majority of us, our church history, has revolved around behaviors, religious disciplines, theological knowledge, It's this invitation to have theological IQ, behavior modification, yet we encourage it through accomplishing these goals through human will and study. And there's very little invitation to the person of the Holy Spirit who works all these things. You know, in Sundays all across America right now, we have pulpits that are filled with pastors and leaders who are pleading with the congregation and presenting a wonderful philosophy and idea and thought and construct of a life that is so, the Lord is so worthy of. And in pleading with believers, please live this way. Drop the sin and do these things and add this to your life and move this way. And they're calling us to something that we were never able to do in our own flesh in the first place. And with little direction of invitation to go to the one who makes all of that possible. And the only one who could cause, the reality is you being a Christ-like godly image is so miraculous. I have more faith for the dead to be raised than I have for Christians to look like Jesus without the Holy Spirit's help. And right now, there's so many people that are opening this word and they're pounding their pulpits and they're calling for something, but at no point do they reference the Holy Spirit's work to do these things inside of you. And so much of our Christian experience is behavior. Change the way that you're living. Do these things. The scriptures are contending with your lifestyle. Come on, rise up and change. Do the word. Study it and do all these things. But the Holy Spirit gets no reference. He's tragically overlooked. And the reality is a lot of people are getting very frustrated with their walk with the Lord. You can open up any news source or Google the condition of the church in America, around the world, and they'll say the numbers are falling, the doors are closing, the deconstruction movement has gripped much of the church. And the reality is, of course it has. Of course it has. Because people are getting so frustrated with the demand to live away and living in the constant disappointment of being unable to do what's expected of them to do. And actually having experiences where my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus is more joyful than the believer that I sit next to every single Sunday. And there's so much more benevolence in the world than I see in my church. And there's so much more care of people's hearts than I consider in the church. And people are becoming so frustrated because they're reading this and then looking around and they're not seeing it. And they're leaving what they call institutionalized Christianity to go on their own journey. But the reality is that there's so much conversation saying, well, the services are too long and we need better Bible teaching from the pulpit. And we need this and we need this. And I'm telling you right now, all of those things are wonderful conversations, but they're all replacement for the actual epidemic in the church, and that is the complete neglect and ignorance of the person of the Holy Spirit. The behavior modification of Christianity will never make you joyful, but the Holy Spirit will produce joy in your life. You can find no hope in religion, but you can find all the hope to overcome in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that works the miracle movements of godliness into your life and nothing else. We've completely neglected his role. And there's too many landmines. And there's too much disagreements and too many different beliefs and theologies. And I am not here to pick a camp this morning or to start this whole series saying, well, here's our dogma and here's our theology. What I'm here to do is invite you to fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And out of behavior modification and out of just religious disciplines and out of history and tradition and into real life fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to lay all this out for us over the coming weeks. And today, goodness gracious, I'm going to leave so many holes. And you're going to have so many questions that you've already been kind of riddled with. And I'm not going to answer any of them. But in the weeks to come, I will. I promise. Just don't get mad at me when day one, we're going to get there. But my goal is to present the person of the Holy Spirit and invite you into fellowship and a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit today. And then in the coming weeks, after we do this for a little bit, we're going to start another portion we're going to enter into the Word. And I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, the Spirit of God must come and make the letter alive and transfer it to your heart and set it on fire and make it burn within you, or else its divine force and majesty will be hid from your eyes. This thing you hold in your hand, this book, is the most dangerous book that's ever been written. When man gets his hands on it, it starts wars. It ruins lives, enslaves. Occults have formed out of the pages of these books when man grips it with his own hands. With this book, it's polarized cultures, it's wounded people, it has literally ignited demonic ideologies that have gripped entire facets of people. This very book has set the world on fire with a strange fire because man gripped it. But this same book has transformed the world. It has set captives free. It has constructed governments and policies and ended wars. These pages have literally been held to the chest of women and men in war, in embasements or in trials, and bombs are flying overhead. Right now in Israel, there are people that are gripping the pages of these books, and it's sustaining their family and their life. It has set captives free and ended addiction. It has started movements that bring orphans into families. This book has changed the world when the Holy Spirit inspires it. This is the most dangerous book that's ever been written. And with that, we have to understand that the scriptures have to be partnered with fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They have to be partnered. It has to be Word and Spirit. And we have to actually enter into the Word through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives inspiration, the Word gives information, but together they become revelation. And so as we do this, we're going to partner these two concepts together for a long period of time and to grow in these two core fundamental parts of our Christian walk. If you might have on the way in, you might have gotten a piece of paper. I'm going to fly through some notes really quick. Did we have those in the second service? Did you guys get notes? Oh, you're waving them at me. All right, let's go. That was a little Pentecostal hanky wave with those notes. I love it. But I've broken down just as an introduction is like four unchanging foundational truths about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to quickly go through those. I've given you notes and I've given you the scriptures I'm going to read, but I've left the titles of them blank so that you can just kind of engage and write those in. And we're going to go over the four core tenets about the Holy Spirit. You ready? Number one is the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Let me read this to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just stay in John 16. We'll get there. But let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit is God, but he is not just God. He is God in you. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is God, and he is God in you. He exists for the purpose of expressing all the elements of fellowship between God and man. All that is in the Father and all that is in the Son is expressed through the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. All that is in the Father and all that is in the Son is expressed in the person of the Holy Spirit. Everything about the resurrection of Jesus is expressed in the Holy Spirit. All resurrection life, the same power and glory that came on the tomb and raised Jesus from the dead and rolled away the stone and seated him at the right hand of the Father and set a new covenant between God and man, all of that glory is expressed in the Holy Spirit. On the day that the blood of Jesus ran for your sins and all of heaven stopped and watched as the Son of God was slain as a lamb and he died for your sins, and he took on sickness, disease, and death, and he broke the chains, and he demolished it in that moment. All the power that was in the cross is expressed in the Holy Spirit. All that is in the Father, the power to create, the power to set life in motion, to hold back the waves, and to raise the sun every day and to set it in the west. Everywhere that God's fingerprint is expressed in the Holy Spirit. He is God. We know the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these are not three divisions. They are three expressions of the triune, the unified Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is fully God, just as God's fully God and Jesus is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And in the Trinity is the fullness of the glory of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is not one third in glory. He is the full glory. Is this okay? Is this making sense to you? He is full of glory. And he doesn't go like, all right, I have all this glory, so let's just divide it among everybody. And everybody gets a little bit of glory. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Man, what bad theology. You don't have a little light. You have a raging bonfire that's literally set the nations on fire living inside of you. You are not one third, a small little parcel of his glory spread throughout all the body of Christ. No, the full glory of the Godhead is living and dwelling on the inside of you. There's no division. He's fully in your life. He's fully full of glory. There is not a little light that, you know, put on the lampstand. It is a raging bonfire that for generations has set the earth on fire, and it's living on the inside of you. It is not a different spirit. It is the full glory of God. The Holy Spirit is God. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Go with me to John chapter 16, verse 5. Jesus said, "But now I go away to him who sent me." Jesus is returning to the Father. "I go away to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow is filling your heart." There's regret, there's desire. "Don't go, Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin, because they do not believe in me. And of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you." Listen to this. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Jesus said, "It is better for you that I go." How many of you would love it if Jesus was alive and your best friend? Could you imagine? Anything you're going through, you could call the infallible example of God on the earth dwelling with us, who has the full heart of the Father, who, like, when you see him, you've seen the Father. He is walking in perfect glory and perfect harmony with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he's your best friend, and you live with him and dwell with him, and he's alive, and you can interact with him, and you're like, "I had the worst day. Can I spend time with you and get your heart and thoughts?" Would that not be the greatest thing ever? Well, Jesus said he gave you a greater gift than that. Jesus said that it was better for you that he wasn't here in the flesh, because he was going to give you the Holy Spirit. So much so that he said that he had a lot of things still left to say, but he couldn't say it in the flesh. So he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be the continuation of his ministry on the earth. "It is better for you that I go," because he's saying is that the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is better than God dwelling in the limitations of flesh on the earth. Guys, you have to get this. Because the neglect of the person of the Holy Spirit in the broader, you know, capital C church, is ridiculously forfeited the significance of what Jesus said right here. the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to you and I is greater than Jesus dwelling on the earth in the limitations of flesh, because he was giving us the promise of the Father. And when we say that, we're not just saying that like, oh, what a great gift. The Holy Spirit was the reward of Jesus' suffering. It was the inheritance for believers that Jesus suffered for. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, before sin existed and before man was separated, clothed in condemnation and shame, he existed in perfect union with God in the garden, where heaven touches earth. And there's no division, no distractions, and no separation between God and man. And this was produced out of the longing of God's heart. God longed for fellowship and perfect union between God and man. And he created the garden, he dwelled in it. And when sin came in, man became separated. But when Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed the limitations of man. He destroyed the barrier of sin. He ripped off the cloaks of shame and condemnation off your life. And the accomplishment was that he would actually take that who was far away and bring them near. How did he do it? By giving you the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the original longing of God. And the Holy Spirit is not just the promise of John 16. He is the promise of Genesis chapter 1. He is the promise of the Father. The Father longed for fellowship with you. So he removed every barrier and every distraction and everything in the way. And he gave himself as the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. So that day and night, night and day, not a phone call away, but literally integrated the fabric of your imaginations and thoughts and feelings, that you would have the very glorious presence of God operating in the faculty of your life. That the thoughts of God would actually override the thoughts of man. That the truth of the Holy Spirit would actually override the complications of your heart and mind. Are you getting this? That there would not be like I hope he picks up the phone and answers my call and pray and go, maybe in 30 years he'll answer it. I'm talking about the very internal dwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of you, so that your thoughts are his thoughts and he's integrated and fused into your very being, and that you become a transformed person that thinks, behaves, looks, operates like God. We all right? He's the promise of the Father. Number three, I'm going to be quick on these last two. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus said, if I do not go away, the helper will come to you. If I depart, but if I depart, I will send him to you. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance what I have said. It's weird, these weird thoughts about what the Holy Spirit is and isn't. The Holy Spirit has often been led to believe that he is a source of energy that we have to refill. Where did that come from? I know there's a scripture that says, like, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not a source like gasoline that the longer you drive, you run out of it. He's not a resource. He is a person. What a weird concept. I just got to go to church and get filled with the Holy Spirit again. I'm so dry. That is the weirdest concept. He is a person who doesn't change. He's yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't get weary when you get weary. He is the same at all times. And the God who heals in one moment is the same God who stays healing all of the time. He doesn't change. He's not an element. And the Holy Spirit, everything that is in him and all that he is and all the elements of the resurrection, all the elements of mercy and forgiveness and hope and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit that flow from his life, everything is accessed in fellowship because he is a person. Everything is received in fellowship because he is a person, and fellowship is the longing of God. So many people this just proves my point, but something devastating happens. I got to get to church. I got to get here. I got to get this. I got to do this. I got to do that. Instead of leaning into the one who's been sent as a helper to comfort you, leaning into your fellowship with the Holy Spirit is where you find all that you need from God. The Holy Spirit, he leads us in truth. He convicts our hearts of sin. I'd love to spend time on all of this, but we're already past time. He convicts our heart of sin. He reveals our mind, the mind and the heart of the Father. He produces the fruits of godliness in our life. He empowers us to do the works of the kingdom. He teaches and reveals the scriptures to us. He helps us to overcome sin. And all of these glorious benefits are experienced in fellowship because the Holy Spirit is a person. And all the faculties of your human experience, your emotion, your imagination, your passions and desires were created for fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And my goal starting today is that you would grant the Holy Spirit full access to fellowship at the table of your mind, your heart, and your life. That he would not be resisted or hindered from moving in your life. But that you would say, God, come on. Right into my pain, in my suffering, in my shame, in my glory, in my hangout time, in my relationship with my spouse, whatever it is, in my waking thoughts, sit at the table of my life in fellowship with me. Nothing is hindered from you. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit is the first fruits of eternity. Ephesians 1:13, in him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. N.T. Wright said, those in whom the Spirit comes to live are God's new temple, and they are individually and corporately places where heaven and earth meet. How many of you guys are longing for eternity, man? All will be made whole. All will be made right. Justice will flow. That which is broken will be healed. That which was, caused anxiety, peace will be met there. You will see God in his full glory with nothing hindering your ability to see him rightly. Eternity is going to be incredible. But the Holy Spirit is the first fruits of eternity. Why is healing available in the Holy Spirit? Because there is no sickness in heaven. And the one who carries the atmosphere of heaven, the one who brings heavenly reality, is here living inside of me. And I get to experience every time that the sick are healed, we get to taste eternity in that moment. Every time miracles and provisions happen, I want you to stop when someone prophesies and you go, wow, you understood the mysteries of my heart. God shares heart with you. That is a moment where heaven meets earth, right in that moment. And only the Holy Spirit can produce these moments. Only the Holy Spirit can go from heaven and into this moment and cause heaven to meet earth, just like Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as is in heaven. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you guys do it?